praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program.
Welcome to the Life Study of the Bible radio program. Today we're covering Genesis chapter 17, a message entitled Circumcision for the Fulfillment of God's Purpose. We've seen so much in the past programs through Abraham's experience and dealings with God, and now we have a very foundational word on circumcision. And we have Gary Kaiser with us today. Thanks for coming into the program, Gary.
Thank you for inviting me.
Gary, why did God wait until this point in Abraham's life to bring in this matter of circumcision in Genesis chapter 17?
First of all, let's begin with the fact that God has a purpose. His purpose is to have himself expressed and represented. He has something he's doing on this earth. And he's doing it with human beings. Men were created in his image and after his likeness, and were given the responsibility to represent him. That is, subdue the earth, bring in another realm, another kingdom into the earth. So that's his purpose. But the purpose cannot be accomplished without God. Actually, the only one who is involved in the accomplishing of the purpose is God. But he needs man to do that. That is, he needs man to represent him. He needs man to express him. But only he can work it out in man. He doesn't need anything from man in his natural being, in his way of trying to do things for God. So man has to be brought to the end of himself. Abraham, by this time, has gone through a process. He was brought out of Chaldea. He went halfway to Haran. Then he drifted into Egypt and was brought back out of Egypt. He was near Sodom, but he avoided the problems of Sodom. Then he wanted to complete God's purpose by bringing forth a son. And to do that, Sarah suggested he take her handmaid, Hagar, and produce a son, which he did. And now God had rejected that. So here is Abram, now an old man. Everything is taken away. He doesn't have anything. God rejects Ishmael, so there's nothing for him, and he's left with Sarah what to do. It's at this point that God comes. Everything has been robbed from Abraham. He doesn't have anything. And now God even tells him, what you have is yourself, and that has to be cut off. Circumcision is a final termination of the natural man, the flesh. It must be dealt with. So Abraham has been stripped of everything and brought to this point in his life when there's nothing more for him. Then God says, now you must be circumcised.
Wow, what a background. Thanks, Gary. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study on Genesis chapter 17.
In chapter 17, we have here the seed of a great truth in the Scriptures. That is circumcision. Amen. To see this, the matter of circumcision, we need to say something as a foundation. By the overall point of view of the revelation of the Bible, we have to see two things revealed. Number one, God has made an eternal purpose to have himself expressed and represented by people on this earth. This is the number one thing that is fully and thoroughly revealed from the first page through the last page of the scriptures. That is, God's intention is to express himself and have himself represented through a people on this earth. The number two is how God is to accomplish this. Not by anything of man, but by God himself being wrought into man. To be man's life and everything to man, that man may become his very expression and representation. The way to accomplish God's purpose is not by anything that man can do, but by God himself working into man, that man may become the very expression and representation of God on this earth. Amen. The whole Bible reveals these two basic things. We have to see this, then we can understand the basic truths in the Bible. Now, we come to the point to see the matter of circumcision. What is circumcision? Up to this time, in a very passive sense, Abraham was fully robbed. He was robbed in every way. Chaldea was gone. Haran was over. Egypt had nothing to do with him. He was merely in this spot where God intended him to be, having nothing there. Nothing. Even that land was not his yet. God only promised that God would give him that land. It was not his yet. You see, he didn't have Chaldea, neither he had Haran, neither he had Egypt, nor he had Sodom. Even he didn't have a piece of land to put his feet on. He had nothing there. Not only so, after all this, God said, you have to circumcise yourself. Could you see the picture? Everything has been robbed from Abraham. Up to this juncture, Abraham had nothing. What he had by that time was just he himself. God came in just to deal with the self. Everything was dealt with. Everything was taken away by God. What was left there with Abraham was he himself, his flesh, his natural strength, natural ability. That was the only thing left with him. Now God came in saying, Abraham, I have taken away every place from you. I have taken away everyone from you. I have taken away everything from you, in a sense. Now, what is left with you? And what is the real frustration to my gracious work in you is your flesh. This is the only thing that is left here with you. This very flesh has to be cut off. This very self, this very natural being, has to be circumcised. Why? Just because, on the one hand, God needs the human beings to fulfill his purpose. But, on the other hand, God doesn't want anything of the human beings to work for him. Could you follow me? On the one hand, God needs you. But on the other hand, God doesn't need anything of you to fulfill his purpose.
Gary, at the end of this section, Witness Lee makes a very intriguing statement that I'd like to ask you about. He said, God needs you, but he doesn't need anything of you to fulfill his purpose. What does this mean?
Well, I was considering that maybe the portion in Matthew chapter 16 may be a little help here. The Lord Jesus was letting his disciples know that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed, he would be crucified, and the third day he would be raised up. So in Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God be merciful to you, Lord. This shall by no means happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it, but whoever loses his soul life for my sake shall find it. So here, the Lord Jesus, of course, on the one side, is going to Jerusalem to pay the price, to accomplish God's redemption, to redeem a people to God. But there's a principle here, and that is that his very being was being put to death, that he may come up in resurrection, that there would be the release of that life that dwelt in him from the beginning to now be fully an expression of God on the earth. He would be raised in glory. That principle is then applied to the disciples by Peter's strong rebuke of the Lord, responded to by the Lord himself saying, get behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God. It indicates man cannot fulfill God's purpose in his natural being. Man must be replaced. Man must be put to death and raised again in resurrection. So here we have a principle that we have to recognize. There must be the termination of the old creation. I am not that old thing trying to do a better job. I don't have a somewhat different life. It is an absolutely different life. It is a new creation. So the principle here, God does need man because it is through man he will glorify himself. He will express himself on the earth, and he will accomplish his purpose. Praise God for that. We're here to be a part of that, the accomplishing of God's purpose on the earth. But it is not through our capacity, our natural man. It is through God himself putting himself into us and developing within us that same life, that same expression in newness, the resurrection life. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Gary. Let's go back and rejoin Witness Lee for more of today's life study.
My, how we, God's people, the called ones, need to be circumcised. And this means what? This means just to put off our flesh. Today, many Christians would talk about the overcoming of sin, the overcoming of other things. But the basic dealing is to put off the flesh. Here, the flesh includes three aspects. Number one, the sinful flesh. We all know this. And whenever we say flesh, we always understand in a sinful way. We think flesh means the sinful thing, the sinful flesh. But in the Bible, flesh doesn't mean that little. It means the sinful thing. It also means the natural strength. Your natural strength, your natural ability, your natural power, your natural qualification is included in the term flesh. And also, it includes the natural man. It includes I, the very ego. I, me, my, and mine. All these are included in the term flesh. To put off the flesh means what? Means to put off the very I. Me, my, and mine. In other words, just to terminate us. To get rid of us. And this is the negative significance of circumcision. And the positive is to bring us into resurrection. Because circumcision was always accomplished on the eighth day. Eight, we all know, in typology, means resurrection. That means we cannot have circumcision without resurrection. Circumcision has to be in resurrection, and circumcision will usher us into resurrection. Just like death always ushers people into resurrection. On the one hand, we have been crucified with Christ, buried with him. And these being crucified and being buried with him ushers us into his resurrection. God changed Abraham's name. That was not just a change of name. As we have pointed out already, that was the change of the person. Now, how could this change of the person be accomplished? No other way. To rid of yourself and to have yourself ushered into resurrection. And this means what? This means it is for you to be a new person. It is for you to be another person. You still are you, but now you are another person. Why? Because you are with another life. You are with another nature. Now you become another person in resurrection. We all could only fulfill God's eternal purpose by being in resurrection.
Gary, I think we have to stop again here. We have in this portion another point that's really worth more of our time. We heard that our flesh, which needs to be terminated, includes not only sinful things, but also many seemingly good things of our natural ability. So, Gary, what's the basis for this kind of speaking?
I think we really have been brought here to a face-to-face look at our natural inability to please God. No matter how good we may be, no matter how proper we may live, it doesn't fulfill God's purpose. It doesn't express God. Actually, it expresses ourselves in our best robe, in our best garb, but it doesn't bring glory to God. If anything, it brings glory to the man who is living that way. So God's purpose can never be fulfilled by the works of the law. I'd like to read a little from Galatians chapter 2. First of all, verse 16 says, "And knowing that a man is not justified out of works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we also have believed into Christ Jesus, that we might be justified out of faith in Christ and not out of works of the law. Because out of the works of law, no flesh will be justified. And then in verse 19 he says, "For I through the law have died to law, that I might live to God." And then the verse that we all know very well, "I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." So the principle here Paul is bringing out is, number one, the law actually has one purpose, to bring us to nothing, to terminate us, to bring us to the end of ourselves. So the law brings us to the realization the natural man is corrupted. It is incapable of living to God. Its destiny is eternal death. It has nothing for God. It can never fulfill God's purpose. But God still wants something out of man. So God in Christ terminates that old creation. Christ himself was a part of that old creation. He bore the sins of that creation, and he was terminated. He was brought to an end. Then, in resurrection, he began a whole new life. Hallelujah. A life that expresses God, a life that is carrying out God's purpose. Paul then says, "I have that same thing. I am crucified with Christ. I died when he died. And in resurrection, now I live another life. It is no longer I. It is Christ. Yet it's a life I am living. Christ within me is carrying out his purpose on this earth. And I am fully identified with him. I am actually the means by which he is carrying out his purpose. At this point in time, he is in the heavens. He is not on the earth to carry out his purpose. Yet he is very much on the earth in every crucified and resurrected member of his body."
Amen, Gary. Let's go to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
In our natural being, we are through. Whatever we can do could never please God. Now, circumcision ushers us into resurrection. After circumcision, we are in resurrection. We are here in resurrection to be another person. I hope that you could follow me. This is just equal to baptism. The baptism in the New Testament is the real significance of the circumcision in the Old. What is baptism? If you read Colossians 2, verses 11, 12 and 13, you could see in Paul's understanding today under the new covenant, the very baptism is just the real circumcision of the old covenant. Because these two things have the same purpose. These two things both terminate our natural being. And both bring us into resurrection. Why, after we believed in the Lord Jesus, we had to be baptized? Because we have to realize that our old man has been crucified with him. And our being has to be buried with him. And we have to be resurrected with him in his resurrection. This is the real meaning of baptism, which is the real significance of circumcision. So that circumcision God exercised over Abraham was the same as the baptism God exercised over us. The principle is the same. Circumcision is not something outward, but something inward. Baptism is not just a form. Baptism has to be an inner reality.
Gary, we have a parallel drawn in this last section between the Old Testament practice of circumcision and the New Testament practice of baptism. On one hand, these are both outward acts, but there's a deeper inward reality associated with them both that at some point in time, as believers, we need to experience, don't we?
We really do. In our natural being, we are through. Now we're here in resurrection. And then bringing that into baptism. Because of time, Matt, I'd like just to read portion of Colossians 2:11-13 that he referred to. In 2:11 he says, "In him," of course in Christ, "also you were crucified with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, buried together with him in baptism, in which also you were raised together with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, though dead in your offenses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our offenses." What a mercy that we have been brought into this death and resurrection, and now are here to live in oneness with him, to carry out God's purpose.
Amen. Thank you, Gary, for coming in and sharing this matter of circumcision with us today from Genesis chapter 17.
So good to be with you.
And thank you for joining us. If you'd like to get more information on how you could get this life study or just communicate with us at all, our number is 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. On behalf of Gary Kaiser, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Did you know that you can now enjoy the writings of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee on your PC or Mac, tablet, e-reader, or smartphone? Just go to lsm.org/epublications to find out more. Again, that's lsm.org/epublications. And thanks for listening today.